Studio 360.
That, of course, is Prince singing Little Red Corvette. When it came out, it became Prince's most successful single so far. You need a love that's gonna last. Little Red Corvette was on the album 1999. And this is the single off the eponymous album 1999, his first album to reach the top 10 on Billboard's album chart. But that was just the prelude to superstardom. 35 years ago this week, Prince released his first number one song, which stayed there for weeks. It was on the album Purple Rain, and here is the story of that song.
Around April of 1983, Prince came to me one morning and commenced to announce to me that he was planning to do a movie and what I thought of that. This is Matt Fink, Dr. Fink from Prince and the Revolution, keyboardist and vocalist.
This is Wendy Melvoin, part of Prince and the Revolution, and I was Prince's guitar player. He wanted something that could be his version of A Hard Day's Night, sort of an exaggerated version of his own life story.
Prince, the story, Purple Rain.
All he had to do was say, I want to do this. And it was literally 6 months later, there was a team of people around who were taking notes and helping him take his ideas and turning it into a script.
Dad, please.
What's the matter with this house?
You're crazy.
Shut up, Dad.
No. It was completely untested waters for him to get into something like that. And, you know, I expressed my concerns saying, well, you know, we're doing really well, obviously, and we have had a very successful tour, and this latest album has sold more than any other album. But do you think we're big enough to do a movie, or you're big enough as an artist to do a movie? And he just said, I don't know, but I'm willing to try.
First Avenue is really famous. A lot of bands make it after playing there. It must be real exciting.
Is that what turns you on?
What do you mean?
Making it.
It's all I dream about.
It makes no sense that this movie got approved and a studio said, go ahead and do this thing. I'm Alan Light, and I'm the author of Let's Go Crazy, Prince and the Making of Purple Rain. Mick Jagger has tried to make movies and it doesn't work. Paul McCartney had just, you know, was making a movie that was a kind of a disaster.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a chance. If you're fibbing and you do one thing wrong, you'll be out. But if you're straight with me, you'll be in.
Yeah, I want to be in.
Okay, that's it. You're in.
It's not like it's a guarantee that if you're a rock star, you go and make a movie and it's going to be a hit. Nobody believed that this was going to be such a catalyst for the kind of success that it had.
Before he created the music, he lived every bit of it.
Albert Magnoli, who was the director of Purple Rain, he was editing the movie. They'd been filming through the winter. The movie was going to come out in the summer. It's March. And he called Prince and he said, I feel like I need to put in a scene that's kind of a montage of Prince's character, the kid, driving around on his motorcycle and thinking about all of these things that are going on in his life and his tensions with his family and his girlfriend and his band, and something that would sort of be this introspective moment where we go inside the character's head.
He was asked to come up with another track that would help tie in the narrative of that entire movie.
Prince came back the next day.
I believe it was a photo shoot that we were all having together. The way I remember it, it was almost like a, not an airplane hangar, but it was somewhere where you could pull cars into. And he pulled in with his limousine, opened the door. You could hear the drums blaring from his car, and he one by one called the Revolution in to the back of his limo, and Prince was sitting there, and he said, check this out. Listen to the song that I just did for this. And we were all absolutely floored by it.
Dig, if you will, the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of the body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this?
obviously everybody's first comment was, where's the bass?
How come there's no bass on here?
And he said, I kept it out. I think it's better without.
I go, really? You're not going to add bass to this? He goes, nope. And I go, are you sure about that? You know, so I was really questioning it. As time went on and I kept listening to the song, I realized that that's what made it so unique, and it didn't really detract from the song at all.
The track was much better, and it had a better focus on what he was saying without the bass in the track. He was very smart about it. It became more tribal in that his voice became more of the focus. The product, what came from it, is proof in the pudding. When you listen back to it, you're listening to his vocals, straight up.
Maybe you're just like my mother. She's never satisfied. Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when the doves cry.
A moment that I will remember for certainly all of my music listening life was the premiere, the radio premiere of When Doves Cry. It's the year that I graduated high school. It's particularly sort of vivid and neon bright in my imagination. I remember staying up, having the tape recorder set for the radio to be able to record that first playing right at midnight. And from the first time you heard this song, it was just absolutely mind-melting. This incredible guitar tone, this really sort of grinding industrial feel to it. Running into school the next day with the cassette of this song and just listening to it over and over and over again.
When the doves cry.
When Doves Cry was recorded entirely by himself, playing all the parts. And in some ways, one of the central things about Purple Rain was he made an active decision that said, if I'm gonna become a huge star, I really can't be this sort of mad genius working by myself in the basement.
Every time we give you a song, you say you're gonna use it, but you never do. You think we're doing something behind your back.
He probably dropped it under his bike and rolled over it.
There's something that's gonna translate differently if I'm a leader of a band and a very willfully put together band that was mixed race and mixed gender. That's going to translate to a whole other audience and a much bigger audience than what his more R&B based recordings had been.
It's a song the girls in the band wrote, Lisa and Wendy.
I never meant to call you anymore.
For that particular album, the Purple Rain soundtrack, half the album was recorded with the band. If he had some of those songs done that we hadn't recorded with him, he'd say, here's the cassette, go ahead and learn it.
Of course, the challenge there is the guy could play every instrument better than anybody else can play them. That introduction to When Doves Cry, that guitar introduction. Some of the great rock guitar players, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top and Slash, and a lot of guitar players have said, I don't know how he does that. I can't play that part. The sort of classical keyboard coda that comes at the end.
Prince took the analog 2-inch tape machine. He actually slowed the tape down half speed. And then he played the synthesizer solo at half the speed of how it sounds on the record. And then when you speed the tape back up, that's what you get. We would just learn it by ear. And if we had any issues with parts or anything, he would help out with those.
Even if he was opening himself up more to trying to collaborate more, to trying to play nicer with others, there still was this sense of he was just capable of things that nobody else could do.
That experience, for me personally, was like getting my PhD. It was the best school of my life. Just being a part of it, I didn't mind the hours. I didn't mind the 7 days a week. I knew I was a part of something really big.
How can you just leave me standing? Alone in a world that's so cold. World is so cold. Maybe I'm just too good, maybe.
At the time when Doves Cry was being released as the first single, there was no doubt in anyone's mind that that was going to be the anchor to push this film, Purple Rain.
The movie made back its budget opening weekend. It was the first time in history anybody simultaneously had the number one single, number one album, and number one movie in the country at the same time. To be able to do something that's that experimental and that bold and have it be that popular and connect that universally, you know, it's just unbelievable. It takes an artist of that magnitude to be able to pull that off.
The author and music journalist Alan Light talking about Prince, whose song When Doves Cry came out 35 years ago this week. We also heard from Wendy Melvoin and Matt Fink, better known as Dr. Fink, who were members of Prince and the Revolution. That story was produced by Jenny Cataldo and BMP Audio. When Doves Cry has been covered in just about every genre imaginable. This version was recorded just a couple of weeks after Prince died in 2016. It was organized by a group called Choir, Choir, Choir. It took place in Toronto, and fittingly, it consisted of 1,999 singers.